Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here today. We have a lot on our worship folder, so I encourage you to look at the back and see all of the announcements that we have on there. A couple that we like to tell you about is we have our Zoom prayer meeting, so we encourage you to come and join us. And if you go to the website, you can click on that and click on prayer meeting, and you're there as long as you have Zoom. So that's a great thing to do. And we have the Ladies Connection, Spring Connection, coming up. And so if you're interested in going, there's brochures in the back. And it is on May 4th, so at Newburgh, so it's close. Not too bad. So we're having a special service today. So after the service, we're asking that you don't talk or anything. Just quietly go back out to the narthex, and then we can talk out there if you want to talk. But for here, we're going to be praying and stuff, so we want it quiet. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that today is the beginning of Holy Week. And we have so much to be thankful for and so much to be reminded of. So I just lift everyone up to you this week, Lord, that you will speak to them, that you will guide them. Father God, there's so much to learn. And so we just praise you that we have Teresa today to teach us about Holy Week. We have Tony at the piano today, and we are so thankful to have him at the piano. And Lord, we just ask that you bless us as we sing our songs. Lord, we just want to praise your name, and we thank you that we have this opportunity. We just ask for a blessing on this service as we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're going to stand and go to our call to worship, and it's Psalms 139, 23, and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. What a good reminder for all of us. All right, we're going to start with Down at the Cross.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
All right, and we go from there to at the cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
All right. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah. all his ransomed home to bring. Then anew this song will sing, hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory for my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen.
I promise. All right, we have a guest usher today. Man is going to help me out. And just a reminder for those of you online, if you're not with us, you can always go to tithely.com and contribute to the ministry there as well. He's doing pretty good there. So let's thank the Lord for what he has given. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you have given us in this life. Not just finances, but friends and family, places of influence like work, and in the community. Thank you for this place to call our spiritual home. Amen.
Can't move any farther away because it's supposed to be here for the lesson today. But I can stand over here, but it's good.
Look,
I know. Okay. Do you want to help me do prayer or do you want to go sit down with prayer? Okay. I know, but even when we're nervous, who can we trust?
Every time.
Who? God, that's right, every time.
Always tell them.
That's right.
Every time.
Do you want to ask them if they have any prayer requests they want to share?
Anyone have prayer requests?
Phyllis does. Oh, what's on the windows?
Windows?
Yeah, do you see the windows? There's extra blinds on the windows today. Because we're going to do a special service today. It's a special service. And you'll get to see. Judy. So, prayer for Marie Hunley and bronchitis that we thought was worse, but it's just bronchitis, and prayer that the antibiotics will work. Teresa. Yes. Yes. Linda, is she still in the hospital? Okay. So prayer for Linda Baxter and revived kidney function is what we really need for her. Absolutely. I just want to share praise that Claire got her surgery and she is recovering. Are you trying to help me out there, Bubba? Thank you. And she is recovering painfully but nicely at home. We know that that's one of the most painful ones that you end up having, so. All right, Tony. So prayer for my brother Tony and job search, and that hopefully at the next coming job fairs, God opens the door to the place where he needs him. So Tony, in his long-term sub, is lifting up a praise that the kids survived him for the first week. And, oh, no, he survived the first week. But it's a praise to have that long-term sub and to be able to meet up with former classmates that are now peers in those roles. Okay. And that was Levina, right? Oh no. So Donna's lifting up prayers for Susie, who's been sick for a month and not able to be here, Susie McDonald. And then that was the first one, Levina Schmidt, right? With a knee replacement, you said, coming up. So prayer for Levina and for that to go well and for all those possible negatives to not be. We all know surgery outcomes aren't always what you expect. So. So prayer for Anya, Debbie Manso's daughter or granddaughter, as she continues to struggle to live. Good news is she's off the respirator now, and so prayers that she can continue to be weaned off of everything and come back to normal life. Debbie. Debbie's lifting up her heart as we come to the celebration of Ted's homecoming to heaven. Someday, anybody gonna see him again? Raise your hand if you're gonna see him again. I'm gonna see him again.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, of course
I'll get a big hug from Paul as I walk through the gates, Paul Baker, and I'll get a new improved dad joke from Ted, and yep. So prayer for our hearts for those that have gone before. Carolyn. Carolyn just lifting up a praise for God's goodness, patience, and love. I'm just going to lift up a praise. It's spring break. For those of you who know, I'm bivocational teacher. It's spring break. Chance to relax a little bit. And prepare my house to be remodeled. If you've been keeping up on the prayer chat this week, which I've been hit and miss with Claire's surgery, to be honest, but Vicky's got a lot going on in her family. And we just need to pray that, and Haley too, because they're family. So pray that those two ladies can be a light through this darkness and be comforted and share comfort in this trying time. Absolutely. Any other needs or praises to share? Kim. Absolutely. Kim's just praising that Mike did not fall off the roof, and hopefully the roof is repaired at the same time. Yeah, I know how it goes. Sometimes you get up there, you do it, and you don't fall off, but then it didn't get all fixed, and you're like, I gotta do that again. All things of this world. Mike. Yes. Mike is praising God for 1 year free and clear. No recurrence of cancer. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. Prayer for the men driving home. Absolutely. They're probably okay. My lead foot isn't with them. No, I'm just kidding. But prayer for them to come safely back home. Yeah. Prayer for everyone else on the highway. That's it. Yeah. I thought I saw another hand when we go. So prayer for Leo Hessegesser, upcoming blood work test to make sure that he is still in remission as well. So continued prayer for a positive outcome. Ready to help me pray? Let's do it. All right. I'm going to scoot over here. Go farther
there are
from
six
the
candles?
Yeah, there might be a reason
one,
for that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So have to see if there's
five
a reason
and
for
one.
That.
But five. Same size, and they are in the
and Landon, it's time to pray. So we can pray for God to continue to give us light like these candles too. Can we do that? Oh, Kim's got one more. Let's see what Kim says. Praise God for his patience to be a parent. Absolutely. Let's say prayers, okay? Dear Lord, thank you for this church family to be a part of, and that you are a part of this church family. Let us, Father, always be faithful to you over anything else this world brings as pressure against your church in Gales Creek. Give us the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge, know-how, to always follow you in a righteous and upstanding way. For you are righteous. You are holy, and you are just. You are merciful. And above all, love. Thank you for the great gift you bestowed upon us with your very life and resurrection that we begin to think about today. Lord, let our hearts be heavy in anticipation today for the celebration we get to do next week, but to remember the reason why it will be such a celebration. Lord, thank you for your great sacrifice in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you for his humble heart and his willful obedience to your great plan. Help us remember to be obedient ourselves every day. Lord, we lift up congregation members who can't be here today, Lord, who because of illness cannot come. We ask you, Lord, that you work in their bodies, their hearts, and their minds, not only to heal their bodies, but to give peace to their minds and peace to their hearts that passes all understanding. Lord God, for Lori who can't be here, for Lavina going to have a surgery, Lord, for several members of the body here or family members that are facing tests to find out if there's still remission from cancer, Lord. Let those tests come back positive for being clear still and not in a negative way that brings fear or anxiety. Lord, we ask that you watch over the men returning to the church today, Lord, that you keep their path straight and guide them and keep their path safe so that they safely return to the fellowship. Lord, we praise you for breaks in the school year. We praise you for opportunities to let go and relax. Lord, we just ask that you look over all the children during spring break this week. Keep them safe, keep them warm, keep them fed. Until they come back to the classroom where they can get those things. Thank you, Lord, for jobs and employment. We thank you for Tony being able to find a long-term sub. And Lord, we ask that you find him a permanent position that matches his personality and the need that will be fulfilled. And Lord, I have a special thank you I want to lift up to you, Lord, for 17 years of marriage today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Sarah into my life, creating a family with her, and that we get to bring our family to be part of this one. Lord, please watch over all of the leaders, give them wisdom, give them knowledge, leaders in the church, leaders at work, leaders in politics. Holy Spirit, knock on the door of every one of them's heart until it opens and you can pour your wisdom in so that all will be blessed by your great blessings. Lord, we are your hands, we are your feet, they are too. So Lord, please impart wisdom to our leaders so their hands and feet will lead everyone in the right path of righteousness. Thank you, Father. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Oh, and Linda Baxter gave a praise on the online here. She said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Right? Do we have a kids' worship song we can do still?
Yes.
You know which one it is, Bubba? Let's find out. I didn't even look and see.
Oh.
Do you know this one? Yeah. All right, well, let's do it. You ready? All right, here we go. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, brown, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, brown, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. All right, Landon, let's say a prayer for all the children. Do you think you can say part of the prayer?
I can do it all.
All right, you say a prayer for children. Go for it. Remember, we start with Jesus. Please watch over the children. Make straight their paths. Protect them in their ways. Give their parents wisdom in guiding them into your kingdom. Amen.
I can do it multiple times if you want.
Thank you for being such an excellent helper, really and truly. Thank you for that. Today we are going to celebrate. I know, right? If I get my iPad to work with me, it's a new one. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus came and decided to give his life for us. So today we are going to read the scriptures that led him to the cross. We've been in this series of On the Way to the Cross and talking about all the things that Jesus did those final weeks before actually getting to the cross. Remember, he is our high priest. He is also the perfect sacrifice. And so today, being Palm Sunday, it's the end of the Lenten season. And so before I read our scripture, however, I want to share thoughts on the book of Mark, where we're going to be reading from today, from Reverend Dr. Lance Pape. He is the assistant professor of homiletics at Bright Divinity School in Texas. Here's what he has to say about the passion portion of the book of Mark. Mark's passion story is less an argument to be understood and more a theological poem to ponder. Held within its thrall, we are reminded again that those who claim to follow Jesus are capable of betrayal. We are educated about the paranoid violence of empire. We are warned about the dangers of self-interest among the professionally religious. But most of all, we are fascinated by a particular man who, when push comes to shove, refuses to withdraw the high-stakes wager, which is his whole self, completely surrendered to that new way of being he called the kingdom of God. Hoping against hope, he risks it all. If such risk is met by abandonment, we read in Mark 15, verse 34, then all is lost. But if by vindication, as found in verse 39, then all is gained. The passion narrative is not a doctrine to be dissected, but a drama to be experienced and explored again and again by those who would dare conform their own lives to the courageous, winsome, and faithful identity it discloses. The passages that I'm going to read today, found in Mark chapters 14 and 15, show us that Jesus is both divine and human. They demonstrate God's faithfulness to complete his plan of salvation, even to the extent of sacrificing his beloved, perfect Son. So listen as I share from the New Living Translation, Mark chapters 14 and 15. Jesus is anointed at Bethany. It was now 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. "Why waste such expensive perfume?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor." So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Now we see that Jesus will be betrayed. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests to arrange to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted when they heard why he had come, and they promised to give him money. So he began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want to go to prepare the Passover meal for you?" So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions. "As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, Where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal. So the two disciples went into the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12. As they were at the table eating, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. One of you eating with me here will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one?" He replied, "It is one of you 12 who is eating from this bowl with me. For the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better that that man, if he had never been born." As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." And then he took the cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it in it new in the kingdom of God." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Verse 27. On the way, Jesus told them, "All of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, 'God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me." "No," Peter declared emphatically, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the others vowed the same. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And he went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba," he cried out, "Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned and he found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." So then Jesus left them again. And he prayed the same prayer as before. So when he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, He said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. Oh, wait, but no. The time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up! Let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." And immediately, even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. Then you can take him away under guard." As soon as they arrived, Judas walked up to Jesus. "Rabbi," he exclaimed, and gave him a kiss. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and he struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. When Jesus asked them, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there among you teaching every day. But these things are happening to fulfill what the scriptures say about me." Then all his disciples deserted him and ran away. One young man following behind was clothed only in a long linen shirt. When the mob tried to grab him, he slipped out of his shirt and ran away naked. They took Jesus to the high priest's home, where the leading priests, the elders, the teachers of religious law, had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and went right into the high priest's courtyard. There he sat with the guards, warming himself by the fire. Inside, the leading priest and the entire high council were trying to find evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they couldn't find any. Many false witnesses spoke against him, but they contradicted each other. Finally, some men stood up and gave this false testimony. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without human hands.'" But even then, they didn't get their story straight. Then the high priest stood up before the others and asked Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus was silent, and he made no reply. Then the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming from the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, "Why do we need other witnesses? You have heard all his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" "Guilty," they all cried. "He deserves to die." Then some of them began to spit at him, and they blindfolded him, and they beat him with their fists. "Prophesy to us," they jeered. And the guards slapped him as they took him away. Peter denies Jesus. Verse 66. Meanwhile, Peter was in the courtyard below, one of the servant girls who worked for the high priest came by and noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and said, "You're one of those with Jesus of Nazareth." But Peter denied it. I don't know what you're talking about," he said, and he went out into the entryway. Just then, a rooster crowed. When the servant girl saw him standing there, she began telling the others, "This man is definitely one of them." But Peter denied it again. A little later, some of the other bystanders confronted Peter and said, "You must be one of them, because you are a Galilean." Peter swore, "Curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me." And he broke down and wept. Jesus' trial before Pilate, chapter 15. Very early in the morning, the priests, the elders, teachers of religious law, the entire high council met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Then the leading priest kept accusing him of many crimes. And Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they're bringing against you?" Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. Now, it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested. One of the prisoners at that time was Barabbas, a revolutionary who had committed murder in an uprising. The crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual. "Would you like me to release to you this king of the Jews?" Pilate asked, for he realized by now that the leading priests had arrested Jesus out of envy. But at this point, the leading priest stirred up the crowd to demand the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. Pilate asked them, "Then what should I do with this man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him!" So, to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. The soldiers mocked Jesus, verse 16. The soldiers took Jesus to the courtyard of the governor's headquarters, called the Praetorium, and they called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put on his own clothes on him again, And then they led him away to be crucified. The crucifixion. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the follower of Alexander and Rufus. And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. Look at you now, they yelled at him. You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down off that cross. The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him. Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. Before we read the final passage, let's pause and highlight a few things that we can learn from Jesus. The first thing is, he is the Passover lamb. Second, he extends grace to those who betray him. Third, he prays for strength to do God's will. And last, he teaches us to forgive. It's during the Passover meal that Jesus tells Judas he is aware of his betrayal. And yet, Jesus still breaks bread with him. Jesus shares the real meaning of the Passover. He explains his broken body and shed blood is the way to actualize God's salvation. Jesus will die for everyone's sins, not just his disciples. Jesus extends grace to everyone, including those who will betray him. We're all like Judas. He betrayed Jesus. The male disciples deserted him. Peter denies him. And the women, they follow, but they're at a distance. Many theologians put Judas on a scale, rating him one of the worst sinners. But please remember, he sinned just like the rest of us. Jesus didn't die for certain sins. He died for all of us sinners, so we could all be reconciled to God. If you look in the dictionary, it defines a betray as to deliver to an enemy, and to fail or desert, especially in the time of need. And this is the crime against God that we all have committed. We, at some point in time, have chosen ourselves over him. So Judas isn't the worst sinner. He is simply one of us. Jesus prays for strength to do God's will. Chapter 14, verse 36 reads, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. And yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. This request is a sign of Jesus' humanity. The human in him wanted to bypass the suffering like any of us would. Yet he knows that his Father is with him to help him come out victorious. So he subjects his desires to God's plan. Jesus teaches us to forgive as he did, despite the cruelty of the cross, being beaten, whipped, mocked. They spit on him. Jesus surrenders his life and forgives every last one of us for putting him on that cross. It is in the account written by Luke that Jesus verbalized his forgiveness in his prayer to God before taking his last breath. Luke chapter 23, verse 34 says this. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." So now, let us return to Scripture. Verse 33, the death of Jesus. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then, at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet of Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. "Wait," he said. "Let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down." Then Jesus uttered another cry, loud, and breathed his last. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." Some women were there, watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. They had been followers of Jesus and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. Many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were also there. If you have a candle in your hand, I invite you now to blow it out, extinguish your candles. And if it's possible for the remaining lights to be turned off, we can have those remaining lights turned off. The burial of Jesus. This all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Joseph was an honored member of the High Council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. The officer confirmed that yes, Jesus was dead. So Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph bought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in the cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where Jesus' body was laid. Amen to God's word. Go in God's peace and his grace.